Welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group, bringing you interviews with Colorado's best real estate and mortgage professionals, empowering you to understand the current trends in the housing market so you can make the American dream your reality. Enjoy today's episode.
Well, it's a great day in Colorado, and welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast. Today, we have with us Liz Waldman, who's a broker associate with Keller Williams Realty DTC. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yes, I always love talking with people. It's always neat to talk about business and what their perspectives are, unique backgrounds that you always get. But I always love starting off with, give us your story. What's your background and how did you get into the real estate industry?
Yeah. So basically I went to college, I graduated with a film degree and got over the film industry.
That's a perfect lead into real estate.
Who knows? So I went into the corporate world and, that slowly killed me. And at that time my dad had been doing real estate for a little bit. He was a commercial pilot and retired. And got bored, decided he needed a hobby and started selling houses and did it well enough that he needed some help. So he kept bugging me about joining him. And finally I said, you know what, Dad, I'll give it a try. And 10 years later, here we are.
Interesting. Do you find that any of your film and corporate background has gotten integrated in with what you do as a real estate agent?
A lot of egos in film, a lot of egos in real estate.
There's that. Yep.
Yeah, no, but I am able to use, my film skills and film knowledge to, use that for marketing and promoting and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Maybe staging or things like that. So I would think that is the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely making use of that. Now 10 years you mentioned, that you've been in the business. We also know you're a millennial. Talk about that. Talk about that perspective that you're able to bring to the market.
Yeah. I got into the business. I got my license just a few days after I turned 25. And so I was pretty much just working with other people I knew that were my age, that were millennials, and we're all young at the time and trying to figure out what do we do in this world. And so it started with some just really challenging situations, trying to get money for a one bedroom condo. And at the time felt so expensive, and the whole industry I felt like was trying to figure out what is the millennial buyer? What are they doing? They've been living in the basement of their parents' home for forever.
Yeah.
They get a job and why aren't they leaving? And a lot of, and a lot of millennials were saying, well, I don't want to commit to anything. You know, what if I move in a year to Portland or whatever? And, By immersing myself into that and buying a house myself and understanding that, sure, maybe you can buy a home with $3,000 and live in it for a year, move to Portland, rent it out, make some money and build wealth that way. I've been able to change a lot of millennials' lives. And I think we're starting to get a better idea of what it looks like as the millennial buyer and now coming around to be millennial seller.
Yeah, things definitely change for millennials. A lot of people are able to take advantage of remote work. You know, I've seen VRBOs and things like that where people put them up and go stay for 3 months and all. So that's awesome that you're able to give them perspective. I guess, is it fear that holds them back for maybe a millennial buying because they think they're going to move to Portland or wherever?
I think we have commitment issues. But at the same time, too, you know, we're dealing with a lot of student debt and
sure.
With people living in their parents' basement, you know, not so much anymore now that the millennials are getting older, but, you know, money's been a challenge for a lot of us. That being said, there are plenty of programs out there with good lenders that can get you into a home for a little bit amount of money if you qualify for it. And even in a tough market, I've had a lot of success getting people under contract where they're not overpaying, where we're getting, under list price accepted offers. So it's changing.
So if that millennial wants to be mobile and virtual and, you know, not commit, is there a strategy within real estate that you find that you are presenting to them to meet both of those? Like, you know, hey, you can buy this house and we can get you in a nice program and you could easily rent it out and then maybe turn it into a, you know, short-term rental. What are you finding that way that is the strategy they're resonating with?
Yeah. So really it's a lot of it is just my own experience with buying and selling. You know, I bought a house when I was 20, my very first house when I was 26. And a few years later, I ended up leaving it with the intention of renting it out and decided after I left it that I wanted to sell it, took the money from that, bought my next place and bought an investment property with it as well. And so, you know, part of it is explaining my own story and how I got there. And even if, you know, even if you buy and you decide to leave, I had a client who bought a house and he got relocated within 6 months and he's held onto that property for about 6 years now, renting it out, and it's gained about 50% in value. So, you know, it afforded him to buy a place where he moved to.
Yes. I think sometimes people, maybe even the perspective of how you look at real estate as, you know, a place to live or a long-term investment or, you know, a tool like you just mentioned there. So I think that mindsets can predicate what you're going to do as far as the strategy goes.
Yeah, mindset and knowing that it's been done before. You know, it's not, you're not going to be the first person to ever go through this experience ever. And if somebody's been able to do it, succeed at it, you're capable of doing it as well.
So you haven't had 30 years of experience in the corporate world, and then you got into real estate, and now the difference has been this. But what would you say that real estate has done to kind of fast track your career as an investor or just as a professional?
Yeah, I mean, without ever getting into real estate, I think I probably wouldn't even own a home today.
Wow.
Yeah. And at this point, it was never on, you know, it was never on my mind. And at this point, I have three homes. One is my primary and two are investment properties. And, you know, from there, it's been a life-changing, wealth-building situation where the goal is to continue to invest in real estate. I mean, obviously, I think everybody should diversify where they invest, of course. But when it comes to investing in real estate, it's one of the most stable places that you can put your money. And so from there, my goal is to continue to invest in real estate, get enough investment properties under my belt that it's paying my primary mortgage. And that way, when it comes to working for real estate, I'm doing it really for fun rather than to pay the bills, so to speak.
That's huge. And I think that a lot of people don't look at it that way. They just look at it like I've got to hustle and grind. But if you can kind of, you know, factor in, if I can just earn X, that takes care of my mortgage. And then that takes the pressure off of grinding so much. And I would suspect that if we had a sales psychologist on the line with us, we could ask the question, how impactful is it to be able to work with clients from the position of not having to close that sale? You know, and it's been said, you know, you can smell commission breath. And maybe there's people in the real estate industry that are like, man, I've got to close this deal and I'm push, push, push. But when you get to that point where it's like, hey, look, I'm just kind of serving my clients and they can tell that, it's almost like the opposite. It just attracts people to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's always about what the client wants and needs and what works best for them. But it does take a lot of stress off of it, knowing that I don't have to absolutely close that deal, or if it doesn't close, then I'm going to have to hold off on buying something here or there. So I think it puts a lot of people at ease.
And you might not be there right this second, but the fact that you have that as your goal and you're making progress toward it each and every month and year, that almost is like, yep, I'm there. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And I think that's a huge part of the journey. You know, it's like when you get to that point, then what's the next step? And then what's the next goal? So I think that's so powerful. And then probably, if I would surmise a guess, you probably work with your clients and teach them the same type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I tell them my goal and I tell them that they're able to do the exact same thing. And why can't we all achieve that? So my belief is that everybody should invest in real estate in one way or the other, whether it's figuring out if you can do it on your own, or if you're partnering up with two or three people to help with the down payment, just to start somewhere. And they'll see that it's just as life-changing as it has been for me.
Now, you said partnering up with a few people, and let's couple that with the demographic of millennial. So maybe that becomes part of the, you know, fast track and going, hey, look, you're always hanging out with your buddies or this group of people. Why don't you just buy this together? And then that could become something where it's almost like a little mini investment club, or, you know, you buy a duplex or triplex and you're living in that and then you move on. So do you find that that kind of approach is attractive to millennials as well?
Absolutely. I mean, most millennials know that you need a good amount of money to invest. And then when they're told, well, lenders prefer 20% down, if not 25% down, then that's a lot of cash that they have to figure out how to come up with. And when you break that down in half or thirds or fourths or whatever, it becomes a lot more manageable and a lot more realistic. And it's similar to other investments that you're making, but the payoff in theory is at a higher percentage.
Yes.
And many times safer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, safer as well as more fun, because you're doing it together and you're not feeling like you're on an island. Yep. Yeah. So Liz, when you're working with clients, do you find that there's certain times of the year that are better to buy or sell or invest in a property? You know, like, oh, hey, this is only whatever month, so let's wait a few months. Or is it like, you know what, when the strategy is to buy a piece of primary residence or investment property, let's just make the best decisions. But there's cycles. So what do you find that you're advising your clients in that respect?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the old saying, right, that the best time to buy is now, right? Or the best time to sell is now. It's, for the most part, it comes down to really what makes the most sense for the client. If you need to get into a home in the next couple months, then you should be buying now or selling now. That being said, if you have the opportunity to time the market, pace it somehow, then it's certainly cyclical. Generally, you're seeing at the start of the year that there's not a ton of homes on the market. People slow down with listing their homes in around the holidays. And then they always say, start of the year, we're going to list. And it usually ends up being 1 or 2 months in. At the same time, too, a lot of buyers wait until the start of the year to start doing something. And then it really, really picks up in the spring. So for a buyer, it's a lot more competitive at the start of the year. When if you're able to wait near the end of the year, then you're going to see more homes listed on the market, fewer buyers out there, a little bit easier time. And of course, the same thing, the opposite goes for sellers.
Do you find that you're working more with buyers or sellers or investors?
I work a lot with buyers. I work a lot with investors, not so much sellers. Because I built so much of my business around people my age, millennials, we all started out as first-time home buyers. And yeah. They say that people move every 7 years, though it's looking more like every 10 years. And so my first time home buyers are becoming first time home sellers and second time home buyers. But for the most part, and I love working with buyers. I really do. I love working with everybody, but buyers, I think there's a lot of excitement when it comes to buying. And even in the competitive times, we make it work and we figure out the best way to do it. And, again, with the cyclical market, we still figure out a way with those folks who are buying in the start of the year to get into a home that they love at a decent price.
Now, you mentioned that you like working with buyers. Do you have a favorite experience or client? You don't have to mention names, obviously, but does something come to mind there?
I wouldn't say that I have anything in particular other than when it comes to first-time home buyers, there's nothing more rewarding than when we're sitting down at the closing table. They've gone through all this stress of everything and finally we're there and finally they're going to get this house that they've dreamed of getting. It's just, it's super rewarding to see people achieve their dreams. It's just, there's no feeling like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kind of like buying a car, you know, if you bought 5 or 10 cars, it's like, okay, cool. It's a new car. But when it was your first car, that's memorable. That's something that you always remember. So yeah, first time home buyer excitement. What do you find that when you're working with first time home buyers, what are some of the things that you are typically seeing that they have questions on or concerns about that you are addressing right away to set their mind at ease?
Yeah. So I think, well, first, when I'm talking with first time home buyers, the first thing I do is I talk them through the process. I talk every buyer through the process because, again, most people don't buy homes every year, you know, that often that they remember it. Plus it changes enough that it's a nice friendly reminder. So I like to walk them through the whole process so they expect what's going on. A lot of them don't really understand really most of the steps. And a lot of questions that I get really more than anything is, oh, wait, so I don't pay you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't pay me a dime. And the seller's the one who pays me. And if we go out for 6 months or a year and you decide that this just isn't the time, don't feel like you've wasted my time, because you know, it's a journey on your own, and it's worth it for you to figure that out.
That's an interesting point, because I know with Google and apps and cell phones, we can go find all kinds of houses that are for sale, and we can drive around and maybe even potentially set up a time to see it. But why? Why wouldn't you have someone that's knowledgeable in the industry that you're not paying a dime to, like yourself, to go, oh, tell me what you're looking for, what area? I'm going to go do some research and I'm going to bring back the best of the best for you. And that saves so much time. But then also you're drawing on your expertise. And yeah, it's not, blowing smoke. You don't charge, because the seller pays it out of that transaction. So your clients, the buyers, they're just getting all of your expertise and take advantage of it.
Yeah. And hopefully they enjoy spending time with me as well.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nate, do you have any special types of programs that you see out there, like for first time home buyers? I mean, a lot of times you hear about, you know, first responders or teachers, but what are some of the special ones that you see your buyers taking advantage of?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as the teachers and firefighters and all that goes, a lot of those programs, don't really exist anymore, which is unfortunate. That being said, there's some basically no down payment programs or little down payment programs for doctors and nurses and people in the medical field. On top of that, there is a lot of down payment assistant programs, grants, and whatnot available that will provide anywhere from 3 to 5% down for a home. And that can be either FHA or conventional, just kind of depends on how it all works out. And as long as the person using that grant stays in the home for at least 2 years, 2 to 5 years, depending on whatever grant they use, they never have to pay that money back. So just some really great opportunities out there that if you don't ask about it, you'll never know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get. And grant money, that's the important thing to remember. If it's a true grant fund, you don't pay it back. It's free money.
Yeah, exactly. And free money to get into a house and change your life. I mean, I've seen folks use that down payment assistance program, stay in a house for a few years, turn around, sell that home, and be able to put 20% down on the next thing. So
yes. Parlay that, stair step it in. And then, of course, we're not CPAs, so talk to your CPA. But one of the other benefits, other than the pride of ownership and the equity growth, is, boy, what a nice tax potential write off there. So that there's so many factors that when you take a look at it and go, I got to live somewhere for the next 3 to 5 years, may as well get into a piece of real estate and start building my wealth, stair stepping that into something. And who knows, you could keep it as a rental. You could buy an investment property. So I think it's just so neat, especially when it's like, here's Liz, been there, done that. I'm doing it. Look at my properties. I found the way that works for me. Let me show you, and I can guide you through the process.
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about, you know, your potential earning, when you talk about stocks or whatever, and in real estate, it's on average a 4% gain year over year. And if you've got $1,000 in some sort of investment account, 4% is not a lot. When you have a $250,000 home, a 4% return on your money is huge. It's life changing. So, and again, to your point, Mike, it puts a roof over your head as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't live in the stock. And you typically don't check your phone every 10 seconds to see what the Dow Jones has done and agonize over that. You're actually driving in going, okay, there's my house. Now, yes, there's some little things that you have to fix up, this and that. But you know what? It's all in how you look at it. Because let's say you do have to fix this or mow the grass or update that. Sometimes for some people, they really, really enjoy that type of thing because that it really kicks that pride of ownership in again. So there's so many facets to this, but if you want to just look at the dollar value and the monetary and the wealth building, it's just monstrous to take a look at with, you know, hundreds of years of track record of real estate is where, you know, most of the wealthy build their wealth.
Yeah, exactly. And again, most anybody can do it. So, like I said, with those programs, those first time home buyer programs, those grants and whatnot, it's certainly worth looking into and taking advantage of it if you can. And of course, if you can't, there's always options to figure out a way to help increase your ability to qualify and buy a home.
Well, Liz, if someone is listening to this going, hey, sounds really interesting, let's see what you can do for me, what's the best way they can learn more and then also reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to our website at www.yourpilothome.com. That's Y-O-U-R, pilot, P-I-L-O-T, home, H-O-M-E.com. And you'll see some information on us. You'll see I update the market. I give a market update every month there, and you can head right there. And then, of course, you can always call or text me at 303-956-2765. And yeah, I'm always happy to answer questions. I'm always happy to talk through the process. And at the end of the day, it's what makes the most sense to the consumer. And if I can be a resource in any way, that's all that really matters.
Awesome. Well, Liz, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've had a great time.
Thank you for listening to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.coloradorealestateleaders.com.